Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the merchant shit. Let's go hook him up!
Of Over the Top Radio. I am Craig Proper, and I am somewhere close to Seattle. And sitting over there is Chris Cotrera. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good, actually, all things considered. Obviously, not on the show this evening is our good friend Ed in San Antonio. We I told him to take the week off. We didn't, you know, let's be honest. This is just a little radio show we do for fun, and he's dealing with a lot of stuff. And I said, hey, Ed, let Chris and I take care of this, and, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. I guess I ought to kind of say what happened just for anybody that's listening and doesn't know. His father passed away last week. So,
yeah. So, obviously, he wasn't on last week either, and he's dealing with stuff, and his dad was actually in the hospital, and unfortunately, his father did pass away, and I just told him, hey, you know, let us take care of it. It's nothing big. We'll save our interviews for another day, and, you know, Katrina and I will just go over some news, and, you know.
We can easily ruin the show for another week, or run the
absolutely.
Show for another week. I'm sorry.
Ruining. I think we're off to a blazing start, actually. I was going to open the show with, how's it going, everybody? But that's so played out. But anyway, what a wacky week in the world of professional wrestling, huh?
Yeah. I don't know, just a bunch of horrible and disheartening things have been going on the past week.
Yeah.
Did you see the preview for the show I posted on the board? All the horrible news and the horrible business. I don't know. When I was putting all this stuff together last night, I said, God, why do I watch this crap?
Yeah. when I was younger, I always wanted to be in this business and to do this business. And then I got a chance to, you know, do this business. And it was like, why did I want to do this again? And
I started watching in like 85 and, you know, it's, been watching for so long, I just, it's terrible business, but I guess I don't know any other way to be except to watch pro wrestling, so I'm just going to keep on watching despite of everything, so.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it. Watching it from afar is way better than being a part of, I'll tell you that for sure.
But after so many years, there was no way I want to be involved in this business.
Yeah, and
I'm doing something like
this. I was only in it for a short time as well, and goodness, the things I saw, I cannot unsee. I'll tell you that right now.
The thing about the business, you know, after we were watching for so long, I think just so much bad stuff happens that it desensitizes me, so now it's all just normal stuff to me. I don't think twice about it, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I'm totally the same way, you know. you know, we'll get to this in the news in a little bit, but, you know, if Matt and or Jeff Hardy ended up dead in the next week, I would be like, huh, yeah, suck, I'm in.
It's a horrible way to think, but I mean,
yeah, it's totally.
You know, after following the business for so long, it's just, well, that's the way it's going to be. It's just going to be that way, so whatever.
Yeah, nothing surprises me anymore. It's
it's
pretty
the
sad.
The height of surprises ended after Benoit. Now I'm no longer surprised at anything.
Yeah, and honestly, I was really, really close to that whole thing. You know, I've actually broken bread with Chris Benoit, shook the man's hand, been in the, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
And he was one of Brian's biggest supporters and called him often. And, you know, that was crazy.
Send him the chair when Eddie won the title from Brock, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got, in fact, he's given it to me, but I couldn't take it out of his garage for whatever reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He said, just take the thing. I think it's cursed. And
you have it, but
like, okay.
It's just there. You have it, but it's just there sitting somewhere. Not really.
Yeah, it's at Brian's house. I put a little post-it note with my name on it underneath the seat, and one of these days I'll take it home and burn it in. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway,
you take it home and put it in your attic and not think twice about it.
I don't want to put it in my attic. There's enough spooky stuff up there. Anyway, what was fun this last week? I went to a WWE house show last Saturday in Tacoma, and I had a ball. I had
really?
Such a great time. Yes, Vinny called me up on Saturday and said, hey, you got room? And I was, absolutely. So myself and my family and Vinny, playing third wheel, we jumped in the car and made the long 15-minute drive down to the Tacoma Dome and got our tickets. We're sitting in the my family and I were sitting in the fourth row, and Vinny bought a cheap seat ticket, but honestly, he could have probably sat about 7-8 rows deep in the bleachers. This was very, very unattended. Is that a word?
Poor attendance.
Very poor attendance. I suspected about 3,000, and when I jumped in the car, Vinny said, what do you think, about 2,500, 3,000? So I think I was right on that. So, but if you haven't checked out my pictures, go to the pro wrestling section of Brian Alvarez's board, and you can see some of the amazing shots that I got. I really, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I got some amazing pictures. And one of them is gracing the very front of figure4online.com. But the first match was Daniel Bryan against Wade Barrett, and they had a great, great match. And Daniel got a huge pop because he was in, well, his home state. And ended up winning with the low bell lock, and Wade and Bryan looked good. Wade actually cut him off twice. So when when Bryan started making his comeback, it was pretty substantial pop from the crowd. The next two matches, okay, wait a minute. The next three matches, you could have easily have skipped. Jinder Mahal versus Yoshitatsu. This was bad.
I've never seen Jinder Mahal. Is he any good? I don't usually watch SmackDown. So.
Yeah, you know what? I wish I could give you a critique, but I don't watch SmackDown much either, Chris. So he wasn't good in this match, I'll tell you that. Yoshitatsu, however, is a very good wrestler, but he could not save this match. Great Khali was out there and looked like he was in pain every step that he took. He is a, I know, I hope you're all sitting down. He is a huge, huge man. I was overly impressed when I saw how huge this guy was.
He moves like a slim version of Andre, kind of, you know, when Andre was getting older and, you know, his body was breaking down. You could just see he's hurting with every step. kind of.
Yeah. His hands look like cinder blocks. They are so humongous when he. We also had the next matchup was Caitlin and AJ against Natalya and Rosa Mendez. This was pretty bad. I'll leave it at that. I know, again, you're all sitting down. This was no good. AJ is going to make a fine women's wrestler in. I'd give her another year. I think she's going to be perfectly tolerable. The Heath Slater-Justin Gabriel match was fine. It was actually a pretty good match, but the crowd absolutely did not care, which brought down the match altogether. Gabriel won with his 450, and the crowd went kind of nutty for that. Mark Henry versus Sheamus was up next. In what Vince called a mean guy match. I was in many, many mean guy matches in the ICW up in Canada. That's what Tim Flowers called a big guy against another big man, was a mean guy match. So this was good. Mark Henry got DQ'd when he used the chair. Sheamus did the Brode kick into Henry's face after the match, and it looked ugly. But this was fun. Sheamus getting over as a baby face is pretty cool to see. I want to address this. There was an intermission, and there was a dance contest right before intermission.
Oh, God.
And I know Vince touched on this on his part of the Brian and Vinny show, but there were two large women in the ring, and the SmackDown announcer, she's very attractive. She comes out and says, you know, I need four volunteers, and I don't know if they just, you know, randomly threw a rock, but there are attractive people in Tacoma. Why they didn't pick them to come into the ring, I have no idea, but they got two very large women. One of them was an army wife. The other one, I'm pretty sure she was missing a couple teeth up front, but I don't want to disparage her by any means. She was wearing skinny jeans that didn't look skinny. I'll leave it at that. There was a young man, probably around 8 years old, and then there was a flyboy, as I like to call him, a hip-hop kind of fella who was also very rotund, and they had a dance-off. When the army wife started to do her jig, I literally covered my son's eyes. He did not need to see what was going on in that ring, so I covered his eyes as a good father, shielding him from her shame. I'll be honest with you. She was so horrendous, and the little kid won, and everybody was happy, and he got to go backstage and meet some people.
So they didn't even have any of the other stars come out for this? I mean, they just had these fans in there by themselves?
They had four marks in the ring and the lady announcer from SmackDown. It was pretty ridiculous. At this time, there was a CM Punk chant. That was pretty awesome. Who wasn't on the show, by the way. My son and I hit the merchandise stand. I almost choked on my gum when I saw that Sin Cara mask that he wanted was $75. We settled for the $25 shirt.
I guess so.
Yeah. And an autographed picture of Randy Orton, which, by the way, you could have bought three of those before you could have bought the Sin Cara mask. So, anyway, Cody Rhodes Sin Cara versus Tyson Kidd was right after the intermission, and this was awesome. This was Sin Cara's first match back after being suspended for a wellness violation, and he looked amazing. Of course, he was in there with Tyson Kidd, so how could he mess it up?
Just from what I'm hearing today, it may be Sin Cara's last match.
Really?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about SmackDown tapings on Tuesday?
Is that right?
And they had to go wrestle with Sin Cara against Heath Slater, and I'm just getting this from PWInsider.com. They reported this earlier. And they said everyone they spoke to expected the artist formerly known as Mystico to be departing WWE pretty soon. So,
wow. That's insane.
And what was crazy is Funico was the one that had to, you know, they had to do two matches with Heath Slater on Tuesday night.
It was Funico then.
Yeah, in both matches.
Hmm. Interesting.
He was sent home for, I don't know why, but yeah, they sent him home.
He had a great match in Tacoma. I'm glad I was there to see it. Cody Rhodes versus Ezekiel Jackson for the IC title. This was old school wrestling at its best. There was stalling. There was a promo. It was great. I love. You know, I got to work Moondog Ed Moretti in my career, and he said, "Craig, we're going to go out there, and we're not going to touch for at least 11 minutes." And I said, "Excuse me," because this was like maybe 15, 20 matches into my quote unquote career. And he said, "Yeah, I'm trying to get up to the 15 minute mark by going out there and not touching my opponent for 15 minutes. I said, "All right." And sure enough, he made it, I think he made it to almost to 10 minutes, and he was amazing.
He'd been watching Larry Zbyszko matches.
So Cody Rhodes taking a page out of Ed Moretti / Larry Zbyszko's book, came out and cut a promo, said it was time to bring integrity back to the IC title. It had been ruined by people like Santino, China, and Zeke. Yes, he said China. And they went on to have a little guy, big guy match. Lots of stalling on the part of Cody Rhodes. And anyway, nothing to write home about, but Cody Rhodes, Sinbad, if you're listening, I might be getting on the bandwagon.
I like Cody. Good match. He's pretty.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler. I was just going to say that. He's a great wrestler, and his gimmick is pretty fantastic. So
better than the dashing thing, though. I don't know, the thing with the mask, it's a little bit more of a hardcore gimmick, I guess, and get into the character a little bit more, take him more seriously. He just needs some knee pads.
Yeah, his legs look incredibly skinny. And I know all wrestlers shave their legs, but for whatever reason, Cody Rhodes looks even more feminine. I don't know what it is.
And every time I see maybe, Ezekiel, all I think is Ahmed Johnson for some reason.
Yeah. Didn't I see him powerbomb Gold Dust on top of a Yugo back in the day? But anyway,
I actually meant to watch SmackDown tonight because apparently Ezekiel put the Great Khali in the torture rack.
Good God. I need to go set my DVR. Anyway, Cody Rhodes won with the Crossroads after he screwed it up. And by he, I mean Zeke, screwed it up. And he pulled him up at two, whipped him into the ropes, kicked him, and then went for the went for the Crossroads again. So
they were doing the paper bag gimmick?
Yes, they were giving out the paper bags. And I didn't need one. Anyway, main event was Christian versus Orton in a street fight, and it was very good. And they brawled outside a bit. They used a kendo stick, nothing crazy, but their work is so good. And it would have to be because they've wrestled, you know, like three dozen times or whatever on TV. And, it was just really good. The finish was Christian coming off the top for his sunset flip and Orton hitting the RKO in midair, and it was really good. And met up with Vince afterwards, and the only thing I could say to was that was fun, and it really was. It was a fun show, and I love WWE house shows without all the BS, and it's just them out there wrestling. It's just a good time, and to be out there with my son, and I know you guys listening are not psychiatrists, but my father never took me to a wrestling match when I was younger. But anyway, I've taken my son to three now, and he's five. So take your kids to see wrestling. There ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Well, most of it.
Well, no, there's a lot wrong with it, but
we don't care. Just keep them, just kayfabe them. It's Santa Claus. It's, you know, come on. Let them have some fun. They're kids. I guess we should get into our news for this evening.
All right.
Let me see. Where should we start here? Well, since we were talking about WWE, they have announced a live SmackDown for next Tuesday night. And speaking of Randy Orton versus Christian, they're going to be working inside of a steel cage next Saturday night, or excuse me, next Friday night on SmackDown. Actually, excuse me, it'll be live next Tuesday. It'll be live next Tuesday, and this Tuesday, and we'll be replaying next Friday. So you'll have two shots at this. And the other matchup that has been announced, and this might change, Alberto Del Rio versus Sin Cara.
I'm looking forward to Randy Orton and Christian again. They always have good matches. I can't get mad at them having too many matches.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's always a good match with them on.
Yeah.
And
there's
nothing wrong
with the matches that we've had to pay for, I think.
That could be it. And as again, as Vince said the other night, I've seen two of them live. So, with just within the last couple of months. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
This next story is interesting. Bill Simmons of ESPN Radio had a major expose on TNA star Ric Flair, painting him as a real-life version of Randy the Ram, who was recently evicted from his home for non-payment of rent and continues to wrestle because he needs money, despite suffering from alcohol. Wow, that's a name I can't read.
Alcoholic cardiomyopathy.
The article covers a number of legal and personal problems for Flair, who declined to be interviewed, but the story includes Flair using the NWA title belt for collateral for different loans, non-payment of taxes through the 1980s, the lawsuit filed against him for allegedly flashing his genitals on to flight attendants, and domestic and physical issues with several ex-wives.
Did you read this article?
I did not. Apparently, I need to.
You need to. This is an incredible article. I mean, this guy's life is in shambles. It's sad.
That's the man I grew up watching and admiring.
If I was him, I'd already had a heart attack if I was this much money. I mean, he just all these failed business deals, and you know he's. Well, he's in wrestling, so he's the ultimate con man. I just say that.
Yeah, he
talked about all his divorces, and I know. I guess his wife Tiffany, when they got divorced, she stole his dog and renamed it.
That's low.
Yeah, it says here the dog was a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel named Nate. Flair confirmed with his veterinarian that not only did Tiffany take the dog, but also had the temerity to rename the defendant's dog.
Oh, how dare she?
Yes.
Goodness.
I mean, there's all sorts of stories, and I think he was trying to get a loan or something. And so he said, well, right now, he told the guy he's trying to get the loan from that he'd take the engagement ring off of Tiffany's finger and put it as collateral. While they're sitting there trying to get to this loan or something like that. And it's
good
just,
night.
God, it's just so sad. And it went through like, I think he's making like $22,000 a month with TNA. It's coming up to around like, I think they said 260 grand a year that he's making with them.
Mm-hmm.
And but he hasn't been paid royalties in like 6 months from TNA. So that may could explain some of his behavior like the past few months, like in Germany or at the, you know,
right.
The house show to go out at here a little while back.
Goodness, Ric Flair. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
One thing, but I don't know, a lot of people are going to think I'm giving him a pass, which I'm not. I mean, all this stuff is terrible, you know, just the ways the life is in the dub. But, you know, I still got no problem saying, like, he's the best wrestler I've ever seen. Greatest of all time. I you know, I can separate like the personal stuff from like what I watch on TV. I just never cared about that kind of stuff, you know. Maybe I should.
He plays a character on TV, and I get that, and it's really easy to look past. It's really easy to look past the character that you're watching and not look at the man, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm a person. I could still sit down and watch Benoit matches. I got no problem doing that, too. But
yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I understand a lot of people don't have a problem doing that, which it's, that's, you know, I can understand that. But, I mean, I just never been one of those people that, like, just fixated on, like, all the personal stuff in somebody's life when I'm enjoying what they're doing on TV. Gosh, if I did that,
yeah.
I'd hate half the people I watch on, like, in any movie or any TV series, you know? So.
Yeah, there's got to be a point where you just kind of look past, you know, their beliefs and what they preach. You know, like Johnny Depp, he's very anti-American, but I can't get past how amazing he is as an actor. So I'll watch anything.
Shawn Michaels was the biggest dick of the 1990s. But I still, yeah. At that time, I still say he was like the best performer in the ring. I could still enjoy watching his matches and talk about how great he was. So,
absolutely. We have news from this year's NWA Legends Fan Fest that was in Atlanta, Georgia. The Dirty. At the NWA convention in Atlanta a few weeks ago, the most noticeable incident was apparently Manny Fernandez, who is now 57. I have a story about Manny Fernandez, and I will share it at the end of this. He slapped Reed Flair in the face and called him a junkie. Bill Eadie, who is now 63, but apparently is as thick as a stump, apparently got involved and apparently back down to Fernandez.
He's 63 now, but he looked 93 when he's in Demolition.
Yeah. Dick Slater, Dirty Dick Slater, was in a wheelchair as he had just had 3 back surgeries this past year because he had a bolt put in his back in a prior surgery that came loose. Good God. Ole Anderson was also in a wheelchair because of medical complications. He apparently suffered a broken arm and a fall, but due to the medication he was taking to combat his multiple scoliosis, the arm hasn't healed.
Multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis. I didn't finish reading that. I apologize. The arm wasn't healed, so he made the decision to cease the medication temporarily to allow his arm to heal, but in doing so, he is very, very immobile. Going back to the wrestler, the movie, the little autograph session with the all the broken down men sitting around signing autographs.
The guy in the wheelchair with the catheter.
Yeah. Well, come on, the bag. Yeah, no good.
Just think about the type of wrestlers those guys were when you look at the guys today. You know, doing all the crazy crap that they go out there and do. You know?
So I had a Manny Fernandez story.
Okay.
My Manny Fernandez story. I'm going to say around 16 years old, and we, Portland Wrestling would come up to Washington State every so often to do shows for the troops. We ended up on base in Bremerton, at the Naval Shipyard in Bremerton, and watched a Portland wrestling show. The Grappler was there. Manny Fernandez, of course, was there. I want to say Piper was actually on the show. It was a pretty packed show. But later on, as I was walking to bathroom, concession stands, wherever I was going, Manny Fernandez was kind of out in and amongst the people. And he was trying to... He was, like, over behind kind of some bleachers and kind of watching the show. And I walked by and I looked at him, and he goes, "What the F are you looking at, kid?" And if you've ever seen the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, he's a scary man.
Yeah.
And me at 16 years old and playing football in high school, I decided to say F you to this large man. And to say that a man of his size is quick would be an understatement, because he took two steps in my direction and I ran like a coward. All the way out of the auditorium, and I didn't look back to see if he took any other steps. I just know he took two, and that was two too many. And my little fat butt ran very quickly. So luckily he did not chase me.
I think the story was at the NWA thing was, I think Ric Flair, I think Manny had gotten like into, he was kind of like being verbally abusive to, here's a name from the past, to Fifi. You remember Fifi?
The maid, vaguely.
A Flair for the Gold?
Vaguely.
You know, a Flair for the Gold, Ric Flair's little interview segment?
Mm-hmm.
And she was maid. Yeah, he was like being verbally abusive to her, and I think Ric Flair stood up to her because she and Rick were friends or something like that, and that's why that ended up happening. So, not a very nice man.
Apparently not.
And he lied about Vietnam.
In other sad news, an indie wrestler died this week during a match. Brian Strickland, who wrestled as the Skull Crusher for New Era Wrestling, died from a heart attack during his match on the 20th of this month in Cape Coral, Florida. Skull Crusher was wrestling the Mercenary, and about 4 minutes into the match, he suffered a heart attack. 911 was called immediately, but he passed away. Apparently, because there is no commission testing of any kind or regulations in Florida, nobody was aware that Strickland had already suffered two previous heart attacks. When they got his shirt off, the EMT arrived and used a defibrillator to attempt to revive him. They saw a large scar across his chest, which was from a previous open-heart surgery. He was supposed to always have nitroglycerin with him in case of a heart attack, but nobody knew that, and they couldn't find it.
So that's why they're wearing the shirt. Always check under the shirt so your wrestlers, your promoters. I don't know, that's just... Well, you need to have commissions, I guess. You know, that's kind
of... You know, there was, for years, the Oregon State Athletic Commission was so hard-nosed, they basically shut down a lot of wrestling in Portland, and everybody moved to the Indian casinos around there and whatnot to avoid the commission. And
WWF and, like, WCW wouldn't even come there.
Yeah, they just their commission was so hard-nosed. I mean, they had stuff on the books from, you know, like the 50s where, you know, they had written in their rules that a wrestler could not leave his feet, just stupid rules. And the commission down there was horrible, so a lot of times Sandy Barr and the name escapes me. There's a couple other guys that run down there regularly. And I'll the Fertitos and some others. They would just run out on the casinos. They would run out on the reservations where the commissions couldn't touch them. With us here in Washington, I mean, it was basically, you know, you go to the doctor, you have them fill out this paperwork, and you're good to go. Up until probably, I'm guessing about 7 years ago, it was harder to get licensed. You had to have an AIDS test. Which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but there was also a commission representative would show up on site and actually do a UA, and if you were on any kind of drugs or tested positive for any such thing, you couldn't wrestle on the show that night. So they were very strict.
Have something where some were getting around the commissions by just running shows for free?
There is ways you can do that. I mean, Tim Flowers would run this place called the BNI. It was basically just a big swap meet parking lot. And if nobody's paid on the shows, yeah, you can run shows for free or you can run out on the reservation. And that's where a lot of people have gone. Up in Canada...
I think it was on one of the Observer Lives, like one of the early ones, like Brian was going to a show for, like, they were doing, like, Portland Wrestling TV or something, and he got there and the commission just shut the whole thing down or something like that.
Yeah, that's happened as well. I mean, in Canada, there was no commission whatsoever. I mean, they were running the Cloverdale Fairgrounds once a month, and you could do whatever you wanted to. I mean, we didn't have security, you know, from the fans. We didn't have, you know, there was so many regulations in Washington State where you had to have a barricade from the fans to the performers. You had to have an ambulance on site. You had to have, you know, two medics on site. You had to have security. And there was so much stuff that people, all these hoops that these promoters had to jump through. And that's why we don't see a lot of more startups, I think, just because of commissions.
Real quick, going back to the Flair story, he's now, I think his representatives are saying that they're going to file a lawsuit over the story, or they're threatening legal action over saying that the statement that he has alcoholic cardiomyopathy is untrue.
Mm-hmm.
Except in Ric Flair's own book, talks about how he has alcoholic cardiomyopathy. He says he suffers from it, so he can't really sue over it.
And not to mention, it's just an article. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, when a famous person gets something like this done, they always come out and say they're going to sue over something. I don't know, I think it's just
right.
One of those things you have to do. I don't know.
Yeah, just to save face, almost.
Yeah.
Our next story is NBC buys dramatic pro wrestling plot. Pilot, excuse me. Dwayne Johnson attached as executive
producer. There hasn't been
a
good slide in pro wrestling in the last few years. That's why the business is so down.
That's very true. But NBC has bought a dramatic pro wrestling pilot that Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, is the executive producer on. NBC has just bought a fictional, go figure, drama series based on pro wrestling in the 80s, and it is being produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, with Dwayne Johnson as one of the executive producers. Thus far, the network has committed only to a pilot episode, but they did not commit to airing the pilot, which is a stronger commitment than just commissioning a pilot. Okay. So basically, they have the green light to go ahead and make the show as kind of a, here's what the show's all about, shop it around, so forth and so on. And if the producers like it, if the big wigs at NBC like it, it'll actually become a show.
Yeah.
That's
pretty interesting.
Cool.
I mean, of course, he's got the Rock attached to it. I mean, and Jerry Bruckheimer, he's a big producer and stuff like that.
He's no slouch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Apologize. You ever had a Mexican Coke? And I'm not talking the white powder that you chop up.
That's the one with more sugar in it?
Yeah, it's delicious.
They have them, they sell them here. We have a Heart Attack Grill here in Dallas. You ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
Where they got all the sexy nurses as the waitresses, and they put hospital
mm-hmm.
gowns on all the patients, and they cook all their burgers in, like, lard.
I have heard of this.
And they sell, like, those Mexican Cokes and unfiltered cigarettes.
Mm.
And they got this big burger that if you eat the whole thing, then you get taken back to your car in a wheelchair when you go home.
Yeah, I remember somebody talking about this. That would go right in line with my idea of men's restaurants where you'd be served by hot girls, but you would just have a bar stool pushed up to a sink. And that way you could eat right over the sink, you know what I mean? Because that's the way I enjoy eating, especially corn on the cob.
They just opened one of those here, like, I guess 2 or 3 months ago, a Heart Attack Grill. And I haven't gone to it yet, but thinking
that
about
sounds
it.
Pretty amazing.
I want to eat a hamburger that's fixed in nothing but lard. I'm gonna...
along with my idea of men's restaurants, I've also came up with a place where you can get a cocktail and Thai food, and I was going to call it Taiwan On. Anyway, Impact spoilers from Alabama. And this will be next week. I don't see anything of major note here, but I'll just run it down real quick. Hogan came out to start off the show, talked about Flair. Angle came out. Angle talked about the young veterans and added Sting. Sting versus Angle for the title later. Sting accepts. That's it?
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Gunner defeated Rob Van Dam in a match that I will make sure to miss. Gunner won via pinfall when Lynn interfered. Eric Bischoff came out with Tracy Brooks to address the knockouts in the ring. He talked about the leadership and named Karen Jarrett as the new head of the knockouts division. God help us all. She named ODB and Jackie to the roster, and she then named Tracy Brooks as her assistant. Jesse Sorensen and Brian Kendrick beat Austin Aries and Kid Cash. Sorensen pinned Cash with a roll-up. Mickey James defeated Winter to win the Knockouts title. James won the title with a kick to the head. Big flipping deal. Matt Morgan called out Joe. Joe and Matt brawled. Eventually, Joe hit Morgan in the arm with a chair against the ring post, because you see Matt Morgan has actually been hurt. Christopher Daniels defeated AJ Styles. Okay, there's one good match. I'll go ahead and maybe see. Daniels got the win after Styles slipped on the ropes. Oops, maybe I don't need to see it. And
we'll
in the main event, Kurt Angle defeated Sting to retain the TNA. Now, that's not right. The Impact title. Hogan was a special referee.
I don't know what to call this damn company anymore.
Hogan was the referee. Kurt retained after interference and an Angle slam onto a chair. Immortal came down to beat Sting, and Anderson made the save. For the next tapings, which will be actually September 8th, first thing on the show was Pope and Devon beat the British Invasion to become the number one contenders to the tag team titles. Now, wait just a gall-darn minute. Weren't Devon and the Pope feuding?
They had a match at the last pay-per-view.
Didn't they have heat against each other? Didn't I just see them just yesterday where Devon would not go help the Pope when he's being beat up?
Maybe his kids finally talked him into it. I don't know. This storyline is so stupid. I don't know. Pope, it's kind of weird. He wants to be a little too close to somebody else's kids. I don't know. I'm kind of
confused. Yeah. I could see being close to Devon's daughter, but let's be honest, that's creepy too. Jeremy Borash introduced the Bound for Glory Series Final Four. Bubba Ray, Gunner, and Beer Money. Ray cut a promo on how Beer Money wouldn't be a team after the series. He put over Gunner as a future, and he will make sure Bully Ray will be champion. There will be a four corners match with the four participating. Bobby Roode said they both want to be champion, and it's their dream. He says they will both share a victory after whichever one wins the title at Bound for Glory. That sounds convoluted and ridiculous. Eric Young
apparently
defeated Robbie.
They did an angle last night where it's Mojo beat up Crimson, so he's out of the tournament or something like that. Because wasn't he like in the lead?
Yes, he was in the lead.
So that took him out of having to do a job and ruin his win streak.
And as I remember last night, there were two people out of that tournament that were injured. One of them being Devon, by the way. And the other one being Matt Morgan.
Vinny screwed everything up last night with not being there for the Brian and Vinny show. I don't know what happened on Impact last night. I'm sorry.
Eric Young defeated Robbie E without Cookie, by the way, because she's been fired. To retain the TNA television title, lightweight, heavyweight champion Eduardo Alvarez is at the commentary desk. Interesting.
Is that Bellator?
Yes.
Bellator?
Eddie Alvarez.
Okay.
Eddie Alvarez, yes, Bellator. It screwed me up when it said Eduardo. Eddie Alvarez, yes, fights for Bellator. Eric Young retains after a spike pile driver. Winter and Angelina Love defeated Mickey James and Velvet Sky. Winter blew mist into Mickey's eyes and then pinned her. Again, yeehaw. Austin Aries came out to great heat. He cut a decent promo, and then Kendrick came out in a suit and did some crazy promo.
I can't stand Brian Kendrick's promo. God, he's such a nerd.
I used to love watching this man when his name was Spanky.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Back when he was like somewhat cool and relevant, now he's just like a big goober now. I don't know. I can't stand watching.
Gunner defeated Bully Ray, James Storm, and Bobby Roode in a Four Corners tag match. Gunner pinned Ray after running knee. Mr. Anderson beat Kurt Angle via DQ in a Impact title match. The match ended
in disqualification. So, real quick, Gunner won that match, so he's in the main event at Bound for Glory?
That's right.
Oh, God. Okay. Low buys on this year's Bound for Glory, this year's WrestleMania.
Mr. Anderson beat Kurt Angle in a DQ in the Impact title match. The match ended in disqualification when Immortal ran out and attacked Anderson and Sting. And then
anybody care about Ken Anderson?
I don't know.
He turned heel. He's back to being a face. It all happened in like
3 or 4 weeks.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Believe
no. Me. And he made fart noises on the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It was announced that the network agreed to give Jeff Hardy a live Hardy's promo was how he let the fans down and he can't expect people to forgive him, but he can ask. So
yeah,
Jeff Hardy,
apparently all the fans were chanting one more chance. I don't know.
God.
This is just the reason. Brian said it in the Daily Update. He said, this is going to air on the day of the next continuance from court.
You know what was very ironic is the last time they were in court was April 20th. So it was on 4/20.
No.
Yeah. I had to text Brian and say, did you realize it's 4/20 today and Jeff Hardy's in court? Thought that odd.
I don't know. Now, it's goofy timing for them to be bringing him back.
Yes, and that's why I was saving this till now. Jeff Hardy back on Impact, back in TNA, and unless you've been living under a rock, the biggest news of the week, here's the way the headline reads. Matt Hardy arrested, fired, and then hospitalized. He's had a great week.
He has.
Matt was discovered at 12:46 p.m., drinking before noon. Unbelievable. Matt Hardy was discovered at 12:46 p.m. on the 20th by North Carolina Highway Patrol Trooper B.J. Smith on the side of the road in Raleigh after his 2009 Corvette crashed into a tree. Actually, he crashed into the tree. The Corvette just went along for the ride. He was near Vast, North Carolina, about 15 miles from his home. He was not injured, but put some cuts and scrapes. Let me try that again. He was not injured past some cuts and scrapes when the side window smashed into pieces, when pieces of the window sliced up his face, arms, and neck. The trooper said he saw signs of impairment and arrested him. Matt Hardy passed a breathalyzer test. Hardy then submitted to a blood test and was taken in on driving while impaired and exceeding safe speed while driving. Hardy was then fired. What's that?
Did you see his mugshot?
I did not. I will look for it.
Oh, God.
Hardy was
fired
by TNA later that day. He was already on thin ice as he was on indefinite suspension because
Greg
had problems.
Greg, I think we got Ed on the phone, so I'm going to put him on real quick, okay?
Yeah, sure thing.
Ed, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on, Ed?
Yeah, I just wanted to check in with you guys. Just let everyone know I'm doing all right. I'm doing way better than I was last week. So just want to check in and let everyone know that. So, you know, I'm all good. And also, I probably could have done the show, but just wanted to let you jokers get a little more practice because you guys were horrible last week, and you need all the practice you can get.
Way to put over your own show, even though you're not on it.
Well, you know, everyone knows that I'm the star of the show anyway.
We got many buys last week. many buys last week.
Yeah. Mm. But, no, I just want to, like I say, I'm just calling to check in, let everyone know I'm cool. I'll be back next week. We're ready to go. And everything's all good. And all
right.
That's pretty much it. Let me throw out the plugs because I'm sure you guys are going to forget. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Marks show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. Don't listen to Alex's golf show because I'm sure it's pretty terrible.
I'm going to be on there next week.
Oh, goodness. I was just going to plug Alex's show at the end of the show because I was asked by Stevie J to do it. Thank you for crapping all over everything.
Oh, okay. Hey, but you do know what's going to happen at WrestleMania, right, Craig?
The Rock's going to wrestle John Cena?
No, the rookie of Angry Marks is going to have to carry all our bags around. And by
I am not or hazing now.
Yeah,
I am not
going to
make
Mark hazing.
I am not going to make a man that has fought for my freedom carry my bags around. In fact, I might
be carrying his bags around.
Absolutely.
So, well, then you can carry his bags while he's carrying mine because he's definitely going to earn his keep around here.
Oh goodness. Well, Ed, I'm glad you're doing better. Again, my thoughts and my prayers are with you and the Laredo family. Sincerely, I feel for you, brother.
Cool, man. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I also want to thank everybody for all the well wishes on my Facebook page. I went back last night and finally thanked everybody on there. So quite a bit. Took me quite a long time. So very much want to thank you to everybody out there.
Real quick, though, you know, I was on there, and the fun, and I'm not making fun of anybody. I just thought this was hilarious. Was Granny used a pill day bang on her response, and that just made me smile. I mean, you know, just seeing all these, you know, all the condolences saying, then I see Granny with a condolence and a tail day bang. I said, I needed something like that. That makes me smile. That was tremendous.
I didn't even use the tail day bang on a couple of the posts. I also I'm not gonna break kayfabe and say who it was, but I did receive a PM on the board from somebody who was not expecting to hear from, who actually sent me some very nice words, and it's very much appreciated to that person.
Gabe Sapolsky.
No, not Gabe Sapolsky, but it's somebody else who supposedly doesn't like me.
I know.
Missy Hyde.
The list is probably a mile long.
Yeah, that is true, but these two would probably be at the top of the list. But yeah, I want to thank them. Right. Also, like, it's also cool when you see like Lance Storm and Paul Heyse sending out well wishes to you. So that was cool, and everyone else, I very much appreciate it. But I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys go back to making fools of yourself and ruining my show. Mm-hmm. And
we're doing great.
Have a good night.
We'll see you next week.
What I heard. But yeah, I'll be back next week. So I'll talk to everybody next week. So take it easy, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right.
All
right,
take
care. Oh, goodness.
Speaking of Lance Storm, I just got the World of Hurt DVDs in the mail. Got the whole season.
I have a friend that wants to see those. Maybe we can work something out.
Anyway, you have another friend that's actually seen all of them and still has them?
Oh, yeah. He's harder to get a hold of than you are, actually. So.
Okay, and I just crossed the country. Okay, continue with the news.
Okay, back to the Matt Hardy story, while we were so rudely interrupted by one Edward Laredo. Hardy was then fired by TNA later on that day. He was already on thin ice as he was on indefinite suspension because he thought he had problems. Duh. While those close to him say he insisted neither He nor Jeff have been asked to go to rehab by TNA. Matt Hardy was, goodness, where do I leave off here? Matt Hardy was then rushed to the hospital on the 24th after falling down the stairs in his home. Hardy earlier put up a video where his house had been trashed, and he blamed it on a mysterious entity.
This is weird. I don't know what the deal is with all this. This is kind of weird. I mean, there's obviously, smoke to this fire. Something's obviously wrong. So.
Yes, it's called bong smoke. I saw a couple of things from this week. He had said something about how as he was in the car accident or as he was having the accident, it seemed like there was somebody there with him, you know, consoling him and making sure that he was okay. And he goes on to say that he blamed his house being trashed on a mysterious entity. Have you ever seen the movie The Doors?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Many times.
In this movie, The Doors, Val Kilmer is playing Jim Morrison. And when he is on substances, he sees the vision of the Indian.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but think, when Matt Hardy was describing these situations, I couldn't help but think of the Indian possibly shaking his head and going, "Why, God, why?"
Oh, gosh.
And then at the end of the movie, The Doors, he's really jacked up on stage, and the Indian, like, gives up on him and walks away. So apparently the Indian was upset with Matt Hardy and trashed his place. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think his girlfriend, like, the last day or so, started kind of confirming all these problems he's been having. Says he was talking about enablers and nobody being able to get through to him or something like that. I don't know why these people got to go on Twitter and tell everybody all their business, but.
Right.
Whatever. Then I'm reading, like the day all this stuff happened with the car accident, and then I'm reading stuff like, this idiot Shane Helms, this dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, well, yeah, but sober people have car wrecks all the time. Why didn't nobody flip out when that happens? Like, it's how some, you know, well, like, it's just as bad when a sober person has a wreck. And, like, somebody's driving drunk. And,
he's dating Rebby Sky, Matt Hardy. And this week, somebody asked Rebby Sky, "How's Matt after his crash?" And she replied with, "Which one?" So, to Mr. Shane Helms, sure, people get in fender benders all the time, but I've never, ever gone off the road and hit a tree. So whatever.
Not taking anything that's going to make you. I'm not going to say I've never driven while intoxicated. You know, when you're young, you do all sorts of stupid shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I haven't, not like I've done that in, like, the last 10 years or so, but, I mean, you know, you can't say somebody, a sober person, having an accident and equate that to, as being not that big of a deal when a drunk person, but that's just retarded. I'm sorry.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Which was interesting today when Shane Helms had to go turn himself into the cops for DWI for that car motorcycle wreck that he almost killed himself and his girlfriend in a few months ago. So.
Yeah, how ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Hardy is, I hate to say it, like I said at the beginning of the show, if they find him dead sometime this next week, I will not be surprised. He's on downwards.
These Omega nerds, I don't know what their problem is. They're all a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, and that includes Shannon Moore, too, and he might be the most stable one of the bunch. Imagine
that.
Yeah,
I never hear much bad about him. So. At least Jeff, during this last episode, you know, the pay-per-view thing, you haven't heard really anything from him since then until he came back. So, I don't know, Matt just likes, he's a glutton for punishment or something. He loves to go on that Twitter and that YouTube, and I don't know. And then all the time, you know, all the tweets go up. 30 minutes later, all the tweets come down. All the videos go up. 30 minutes later, all the videos come down. So somebody's obviously sobering up and realize they shouldn't be doing this shit.
speaking of, Ed texted me this last week, or not texted, he sent me a Facebook message and said, here's Matt Hardy's phone number. Call him and book him for the show. And I'm like,
it was the wrong number.
Where'd you get this number? And he goes, off of his Twitter page. Oh, my gosh.
And he put up the wrong number because, he put the wrong number up on Twitter.
So somebody's pissed that has that number. Oh, goodness. So, yeah, Matt Hardy in a ton of heat on him right now. Arrested, fired, and then hospitalized this last week. And to combat all of this, what does TNA do? Let's put his brother back on TV. Great timing. Great.
Matt doesn't have many selections of places to go now. I mean, to work. TNA, no. WWE ain't taking him back, at least for a few years.
I'll tell you one place that will take him back. I'll tell you one place he can go to work. Mexico.
Oh, yeah, they got all the screw-ups down there.
They take every screw-up down there.
They take movies. They take Teddy Hart. They take, Sean Waltman, when he was still, screwing up and stuff like that, he would go down there and work. So. Yeah, they take
yep,
a bunch of stuff.
He'll make a
and
ton of money.
And TNA probably take him back in a few weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if he does a run-in at the next pay-per-view or something.
Yep. The TNA is so stupid. They'll call him back in a couple weeks. Hey, we're sorry. We shouldn't have fired you.
You know, Dickie must have been in a bad mood or something. Or Bob Carter must have, they must have been in a mood that day. Said, oh, fuck this Hardy shit. Get rid of this asshole.
Oh, Lord. So,
Neil down. They were like upset at Jeff going on Twitter and announcing that he's returning at the TV tapings.
Right.
Like when the spoilers got out that the news that Jeff came back wouldn't have gotten out or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's TNA.
Yeah. So, before you go to sleep tonight, say a little prayer for Mr. Matt Hardy. I think he needs it.
I'll say a prayer for Ed Antonio, of course.
Yeah, you can do that too. Our next story, and second to the last, honestly, Steve Austin and CM Punk involved in a Twitter war. As ridiculous
this
as
this is an example of guys on Twitter not embarrassing themselves where they have to take down all their posts.
Yes, this is two very smart people using social media to hype something that may or may not ever happen.
Yeah.
And if it does happen, they can point back to this. WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin and CM Punk are back at it on Twitter playing up their social media feud, hinting about a possible encounter down the road. Punk, who does not drink due to his straight-edge lifestyle, jumped into a conversation between Austin and Zack Ryder about why he put a lime in a beer. Apparently, it's to make it not taste like piss. It's still poison.
That's
what CM Punk wrote. Right. Austin reported to Punk, "You ought to mind your own business and stay focused on Nash and leave the beer drinking to me, Punk." Punk retorted, "Focus on my middle name, Steven." Austin reported, "My middle name is Whoop Ass. Now, go about your business before you step in a big pile of what did I get myself into now?" So
they're just kind of doing their own deal, and then if something comes out of it, like for WrestleMania next year, then that's good. If not, then I would just entertain just reading the whole thing. So.
Absolutely. I mean, if they do end up having a match at Mania, this is them using, like I said, using social media to a slow burn, to get a slow build to their match, and if it happens, it's going to blow the roof.
And you know, I don't really think they'd have to turn CM Punk heel to do this program. I think they could still have him as a babyface to do it.
Oh yeah, because he can play the babyface, and Austin has always played a tweener. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Basically, we are done with the news. We talked a little bit last week about Netflix and some of the great things wrestling-related that are streaming on Netflix right now. And, well, there's a list of it here, and Contreras compiled this, and I'm just going to read this off. Beyond the Mat, The Big Show, A Giant's Life, Bobby the Brain Heenan, the WWE's documentary of the Hall of Fame manager, Body Slam the movie. Please don't watch this. This is horrible.
Awful movie. It's Tanya Roberts in it.
It's a dirt movie.
Breaking the Code, which is the Chris Jericho biography. That's pretty good. Wrestling with Shadows, one of my favorites. The Generation X, One Last Stand. This is the 2011 version of the final run of DX and Shawn Michaels' retirement. Question mark. Heart and Soul, the Hart Family Anthology, which I have not seen.
It's pretty good.
The John Cena Experience. Okay. Knucklehead, which, by the way, I saw 5 copies in my local pawn shop just last week. No lie. Legendary, a film starring one John Cena. Lipstick and Dynamite, Ready to Rumble, which is awesome. I love that movie.
Film.
Ricky Steamboat, a documentary on what you wrote as one of the greatest baby faces of all time. The Rise and Fall of WCW. It is good?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay. The Rise and Fall of WCW, I have not seen this, but it's a documentary much like the Rise and Fall of ECW.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to like the Crockett stuff. So
really?
Covers a lot. Yeah.
Now, on Netflix, you don't get all the extras that you get on the DVDs, like matches and whatnot, right?
On some of them, they do. Like on the Macho Man DVD, where they just like, they've got like different episodes where you can just, it's just like a collection of the matches being introduced by like Matt Stryker and Maria. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. The Rock, the Most Electrifying Man in Sports Entertainment. This was a DVD released probably 10 years ago?
No,
last year?
Ago.
Okay. This one, I have no idea what this is. That's What I Am?
Oh, the Randy Orton, I'll Go to the Papers thing.
Oh,
I'll go to the papers
okay.
If I have to.
I'll go to the papers if I have to.
That was actually like the best reviewed movie they've done, so.
The True Story of WrestleMania.
Excellent.
I still have not checked that out. Oddly enough, The Twist of Fate, the Matt and Jeff Hardy story.
Yeah.
To be continued, maybe. Rey Mysterio, The Life of a Masked Man.
Started watching that last night. It's pretty good. It's just got him sitting down with Matt Stryker and, you know, like doing an interview, mm-hmm. and then they'll throw the matches and stuff like that. Very good stuff. They have the best match on there, on the Netflix version, was they had the very first match with Jericho and Mysterio from Nitro in 1997. So.
Yeah, that's really good. I picked that up, actually, for my son. Okay, it was for me, too. WWE's Greatest Cage Matches of All Time. This is okay. I've seen this. I actually own this. It's okay. The Randy Savage Ultimate Collection, which I'm sure is phenomenal. The WWE's Greatest Stars of the 21st Century.
That's a new
WWE,
one. They just came out with.
Yeah. The WWE, the very best of WCW Monday Nitro. I could not sit through this. I tried.
I actually tried. I actually did sit through this. And, I mean, I had to fast forward. I'm not going to watch Big Bubba versus Hulk Hogan. I got to, they had an awesome Sting DDP World title match. Do you remember this match from like 1999? They had like a
vaguely.
Hell of a match like on Nitro. It's one where Sting won the title, but then DDP like went it back in a four-way later on in the show. It's like one of the best matches either of these guys ever had. It was an awesome match.
So that's probably the best thing on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And rounding out the list, WWE's top 50 superstars of all time.
If you can get past the bullshit of this list, then it's very good to watch. You know, it's just got different guys. I mean, just forget about the rankings and all that, and it's just a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, so that pretty much does it for our show tonight. We don't have a whole lot to talk about. Somebody on the board wanted us to talk about the Gracies. She's a great cat. The Gracies. She's a great cat, but she needed to be moved from the television. She was in my way. But anyway, thanks, Haphazard. We'll talk about the Gracies.
This has something to do with that long-ass article in Deserver I didn't read.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it.
I read the Observer in like 10 minutes this week. It's like a record. Skip the whole Bailey Tudor thing.
For those of you listening for the first time, Contreras has no love, admiration, respect, whatever, for MMA, and he just doesn't watch, so there you go.
And according to the threads I've read on the board, a lot of people agree with me. Although I don't complain that they actually cover MMA, I just don't read about it. I don't care if they cover it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the best way.
Plus, I always listen to some of the UFC stuff because, I mean, that's where I learn the most about UFC. I just, you know, I'll listen to the news on it. I just don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's like a bad thing, like in 2011, that I don't want to watch MMA and I like pro wrestling. Well, I'm not going to follow trends. I don't follow trends. I set them.
And there is a UFC on tomorrow night. You know what? I'm totally out of the loop on this. I know Anderson Silva's fighting.
It's the one in Brazil.
Yeah, it's the one in Brazil. I'm totally out of the loop on this one because it's not on my radar. I'm actually going to a concert tomorrow night, so I'm going to miss this one. So, what are you gonna do? So yeah, check that out. I do need to throw out the plugs as Ed tried to, you know, take over the show on his own. But, yes, check out angrymarks.com for all of the latest wrestling news, and there's some great shows on there. Also,
Alex Goff has a show on there. It's really fun.
Alex Goff has a show on there, and it's called 240 Radio, and his first interview was with DirtDiva.com writer David Buckler. And you can check that out, again, at angrymarks.com. Of course, you can also check out the Milk of Minutia show, which is my good friend Justin, a.k.a. the Junior Horseman and Blue Fist. And this Monday, they're going to have one of my favorite Seattle artists. Her name is Star Anna, and she's an amazing singer-songwriter. She's actually from Ellensburg, which is a little country town out in eastern Washington, and she's got an amazing voice. She's an amazing songwriter. And check her out at Star Anna and the Laughing Dogs.
What was the name again?
Her name is Star Anna.
She's in adult entertainment?
She's a singer songwriter. Her name is Star Anna, and her band is called the Laughing Dogs. Mike McCready and Duff McKagan have both put her on some benefit shows around here, and she has an amazing voice. She's an amazing singer, and she's going to be on the Milk Minutia show this Monday, so check that out.
How do people feel about a porn star doing benefit shows?
She's not a porn star. She has not the body for this.
Oh, okay. I'm fixated on the name. I'm sorry.
Anyway, check out Star Anna. You'll probably enjoy her, Katrina. She's a very great singer. I know. For all of you that ordered T-shirts, they are all in the mail as of tomorrow. So check your mail very soon. You'll be getting them, even those of you across the pond. And for my friends Rodney, Justin, and Matt Cleary, I'll be hand-delivering yours. And that's all I have to say. You have anything to add, Katrina?
No, we'll see everybody next week. Everybody stop watching wrestling. It's a terrible business. Go watch something. Seriously. It's horrible.
Hit the music.
We don't usually do that at the end of the show, do we? I'll just hit end episode. Okay. Bye.
All right. See ya.